All right, everybody, welcome back and good morning / good afternoon. You are listening to Moss Radio on mossradio.com. My name is DJ Croak, and as you may know, I'm not the host of today's show, but DJ Sasa had some things to get to, including we are getting a large amount of COVID tests to distribute. So looking forward to that, but that means that we need to wait 5 to 10 minutes for DJ Sasa and his guest to arrive. So just gonna let y'all listen to some music until then. But before that, let me just introduce this radio. Again, you're listening to Moss Radio, and we are your local online community radio, prioritizing and practicing engagement with each other, listeners, participants, and communities. Having said that, please join our chat and feel free to contact us. The chat you can find on the website that you're probably listening to this on, Moss Radio NYC. You're going to see a little chat icon, and you can always join there during the show with any thoughts, questions, comments, anything of the sort. We stream at Moss Radio streams at select hours, which do change every week, and you can find our programming and exact hours on the schedule page of our website. It's updates. I would say we put on the next week's schedule around Saturday or Sunday. So please make sure that you stay tuned during the weekend, as what is up right now on the schedule page is not exactly what will be up next week, as we're still adjusting our content. And sorry for that process. We will get it more streamlined soon so that we can get y'all an earlier schedule. But we are also making weekly program guides, which you will find at some free book boxes in the city. And also at certain other places, which we will make a list of and tell y'all on our Instagram, again at Moss Radio NYC on Instagram. You can also text us at 917, sorry about that. You can text us at 917-809-4084. Again, that is 917-809-4084 throughout the show. And as I said, you can chat on the website. Again, you're listening to Grasping Things at the Root, which is DJ Sasa's show. But unfortunately, we've got a little timing issue. So DJ Sasa will be in a few minutes. But as I said, until then, let me just put y'all on to some music so that you're not waiting around listening to dead air. Give me one second. All right. And here we go. This is Municipal Waste, the mix that was playing last or two Saturdays ago.
So fucking empty, so We'll be right back. Hello.
Right now they can't hear what's coming out of here. They can only hear you.
Okay. Hi everyone. Thank you for waiting. We had a bit of a delay today. To get COVID tests. Shout out Double Dribble. Shout out the fucking sorry, wait, can I curse? Yeah. Okay. Shout out the Okay, in my opinion. Shout out this beautiful man that
there's
like
saved us. There's a lot of
shout
outs today. Yeah. Go through the
shout
outs in chronological order.
In order, shout out Black Burrow Bunny.
Black Bunny Burrow.
For giving us like 500 and something tests.
540.
That we will also be distributing at places.
Yeah.
Yes.
They will be disseminated.
Yeah,
if you will.
Not just for us.
And
yeah.
Masks. And masks.
So yeah, shout out Black Bunny Burrow. Mm-hmm. Shout out Industry City. We were out there toiling in the heat. Truly a wonderful, surreal place. Shout out that beautiful man outside the hardware store that literally saved our lives and
what
gave
happened?
Us. Okay, so basically, we're lugging COVID tests in garbage bags.
540 to be
yeah,
exact.
Yeah, 540. So unsurprisingly, you know, one of them explodes. You know, we're out there on the street, me and Double Dribble. We're like, shoot, what do? We have COVID tests, like, just out here. We see this guy.
It was not a pretty sight.
Yeah, no. There were dogs barking.
Oh. This. So, actually, if I can sprinkle in some context. So, we were lugging 4 bags. I would like to say probably 150 tests in each bag. And these tests are bulky boxes. And so we were lugging. We tried to find the bus stop. The bus didn't come. We asked a local of Industry City if the bus came to where we were. They said no.
Yeah.
So we decided to walk to the train. And then right outside of this house with a beware of the dog sign, this rampant dog was so angry at us and was barking at us. And one of our trash bags broke.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went across the street. Sauce went across the street. Asked this nice man if he had any trash bags. And he said he did.
Yeah.
And we got a huge trash bag. Very, very big.
Yeah, it was industrial size.
And it was
yeah.
It was industrial size for the industrial city.
Yeah. Yeah, so shout out everybody there. Literally everyone there. That's like...
I had the best time.
Yeah, no, that was like incredible.
Amazing bonding experience.
Yeah, that was a New York moment for sure.
And shout out to the nice Uber driver that let us pack all of these trash bags into the back of his car.
Yeah.
Because that was also ideal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do you want me to fix this so this can be?
Yes.
Okay. Other person on the Jitsi, we're going to, in around... 10 seconds, you're going to be live on air, so anything you say will be broadcasted to Moss Radio. And 1, 2, 3. Okay. And now they can hear both of you.
Great, okay. Hi, so today... Oh, yeah, just to...
Keep going.
Okay, yeah. Just to introduce our radio for today, this is Grasping Things at the Roots. And basically what we're talking about here is just like kind of just like yapping with friends, community members about just like the work that we do, what sustains us in the movement. So that could be like community organizing, cultural work, education-based things, and also just kind of like dealing with struggles today and in these current times. And what we do to sustain ourselves. So today I'm joined by, I'm not actually gonna use your name yet if you wanna introduce yourself in a different way, but this is a good friend of mine. We met at like a queer Lunar New Year's event and we drew dragons kissing and that was our first like
as it goes.
Moment.
As
yeah,
it goes.
Together. We're also in a band, kind of in a band together. We're on a bit of a break. But this person is an amazing singer, an amazing bass player, and also just like a fantastic person in general.
Thanks,
so yeah, if you would like to introduce yourself a little bit as well. Feel free.
Yeah, sure. My name is Gabby. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Do you want to share your pronouns as well?
Oh, yes. My pronouns are they, them.
Okay. Yeah. We've also got DJ Croak here.
Hello. My name is DJ Croak. I come with the sirens. But yeah, I'm here to be a guest and listen and also make the content of my next show as I do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please take it away.
Yeah. Yeah, so just wanted to thank, also just wanted to take time to thank everybody, and also thank you, Gabby, for coming today. I know that today is like a international day of action. So if anyone's listening that is like going to go to an action later or is participating in the fast, please be safe and please be with people that you trust.
Especially in the heat wave.
Yes, but today is like a heat wave. Please stay hydrated. Even if you're not doing anything, just please stay hydrated. So yeah, today just wanted to talk a little bit with Gabby about like, the work that you do and your journey as like an organizer and like as someone that like does community building. So yeah, just wanted to like hand the spotlight over to you. And my first question for you actually is, like, what got you into community organizing and community building?
Sure. So I guess I primarily work with, like, LGBT API for my job. I work at a nonprofit, and what got me into that? So I grew up in, like, a small suburb on the outskirts of Chicago, and growing up, I didn't really have a lot of like API, like queer friends. And actually, I came out when I was 11, but I didn't really think of myself as queer. Like my Asian identity was like the most salient to me. It was kind of weird because I was like in a queer club, but I didn't consider myself queer. I was just like in the club. Maybe that's an egg moment. I don't know. But everyone in the club was white, and I just hung out there. I don't know why. But the only queer Asian I knew was my friend Jan Matthew. Low-key, maybe I shouldn't say his name. But whatever. He's definitely not listening to this. Shout out Jan Matthew. But he like hated being Asian, and he was like, I would never date an Asian person. Because that's like the kind of place I lived. So I guess when I like moved here, I moved here like 4 or 5 years ago. I like first met another queer Asian, and they were like, yeah, that's like a common thing. You could be both things. And I was like, damn. And I guess I started seeking out more spaces. And I started working in that kind of space and wanting to build out spaces where you can find other people who are similar. But yeah, that's kind of like how I got into that.
Yeah, I think similarly we've both bonded over the fact of being like queer and Asian. And like that is like our first like meeting point was at like a queer Asian event. But I think also what's interesting, like hearing you talk more about like your experience coming into like New York and like meeting all of these people is also just realizing like the like intersectionality that exists here. That like I can speak from personal experience where like I grew up in New York. I like don't have the experience of growing up like necessarily like in other parts of America. But like even then, I think in my adult life, like I've only recently come to realize like that a lot of parts of like my identity coincides with like the work that I do in an intersectional way. And it's amazing to hear you talk about like kind of bringing that to like younger people and youth. So yeah, I also wanted to like ask you what it's been like to work with younger people and like with teenagers and what it's been like to kind of share resources with them.
I guess I tend to work with people like 18 and up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been like a few instances where I actually met a couple people who were like below that age, who are just like in high school and getting towards that point. And I just, it makes me think about when I was in high school, I guess, and looking for like that community. So it just reminds me of that. I don't know. It's been like a fulfilling experience to like remember that time and be able to like connect someone to like a space and know that there's like a place where that person can go. Cause I feel like that's just a difficult time to, or place to navigate, especially when you're like queer and you're Asian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I understand we can't like really say the name of the organization that you work for. But would you be able to like give like an example of like the resources you might provide, or kind of just like what the average like kind of event looks like?
Sure. So yesterday we held like a collaging workshop. We held a collaging workshop and we went over a little bit of queer theory. We read like Jose Esteban Munoz. So I guess what made me think about that was last collaging workshops we had held two before were pretty like popular. So I try to like talk to like whoever comes to the events and see what they're like interested in the most, and arts and crafts are pretty like popular. And so Munoz wrote a piece called Cruising Utopia. It's a book. Yeah. And I really liked it because it kind of talks about queerness as something that's not yet here in the present moment, but something that you can reach and grasp for in the future. And I think that that's like extremely relevant today, but it's obviously it's relevant in the past too, because this was not written in the present day. But I wanted to talk about it and have it now in the present as we like are living in this time under like Trump's presidency yet again, because it's like a dark time. So I want to think about, what does a queer future look like? What mm-hmm. are like the ideals that we strive towards? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like similar to the work that I do on a daily basis, is kind of create those spaces where you can meet other queer API and BIPOC and kind of like dream together, I guess, but also connect with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I actually really wanted to go to this event, but I unfortunately was unable
to. Dude, I missed you there.
Yeah,
no. Queer Sasa.
Yeah, also because I'm such a like speculation fan, like radical speculation. Like I love.
Bro is whimsical.
Yeah, I'm whimsical like that. But also, I
love thinking.
Yeah, I love thinking. Who else loves thinking?
But, well, I'll see you later.
Yeah, I will see you later. Yeah, that's true. But also, yeah, I think I was just talking about, I mean, I always talk about Jose Esteban Munoz and like the idea of queer futurity, because I think it's really, I mean, in that book, and I would recommend anybody to read it, because especially if like you're a queer person that's interested in like, you know, community building, because a lot of it is talking about how like we can't really progress into the future without being with each other. And also just about like the different systems that like harm us and hurt us. And also just the idea of like what it takes to imagine that future for not just ourselves, but like our whole community. And yeah, I think like in previous Moss Radio episodes, like the idea of like imagination and speculation has been brought up a few times, but I think it's definitely like foundational for like a lot of the work that gets done by like everybody here and like friends. Yeah, so that's beautiful.
Well, I think especially if we're bringing it back to like the kids and like mm-hmm. working with children or young people, there is this like notion of like shit's so rough right now
yeah.
that it must be so difficult to like imagine these other possibilities And so then it's kind of the role of like the people that are in those like youth's lives to be like, now, like, not only is this what we can imagine, and like this is like, you know, kind of like spinning these wonderful stories, but also like this is what some of us are living that is like beautiful and glorious and like its community already. And then kind of being like, well, this all started because we just like wanted this and like thought about this and needed this, and like, you know, it was not, yeah, like everybody can kind of do it, and like at least that's one thing everybody can participate in, is like making a community wonderful.
Yeah. Like, your existence in itself is, like, somebody else's, like, inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, a young person out there would be, like, I could never have imagined myself, like, kind of living the life that you live, or just being, like, alive at this age. So, yeah, it's really just, like, an amazing, like, kind of foundation to just, like, understanding not just like the work that we do, but like just our existence, like in the world, and that it means something to people. But yeah, I can also like talk a little bit about like my connection to like that kind of curriculum with like speculation. So I work at the WOW Project, which is like an arts and activist center in Chinatown. And we also have a youth program that runs like every year. And this year our theme was like about speculation and speculative futures. So that definitely ties into like, Gabby, what you were saying about like just like queer futurity. We were also talking about like Afrofuturism and like just like different writers like Ursula Le Guin and Octavia Butler, and like how they inform like actual direct action that happens in real life.
Even had you heard of, what's that book that came out recently that's like basically a sort of like historical telling of like a fake or like a fictional uprising that's like very modeled off of our society?
That might be The Dispossessed, right? Is that Ursula Le Guin?
Let me see.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I really like your, since you mentioned WOW, when I was thinking about this, actually, like, doing the collage, I actually thought about it because, so I made them imagine and then, like, put it on the collage. I was thinking about when WOW did the thing about the Chinatown jail and they drew what would be in place.
Do you want to talk?
That was super cool.
Yeah. Do you want to explain more about what that is for people who might not know?
Do you want to do it? Because you're part of WOW.
Yeah, for sure. I just didn't know if you had like thoughts on it. So there was, WOW is pretty, you know, involved with this thing that's happening in Chinatown, but also what's happening like in New York in general. There's this plan to close down Rikers and in turn open up 4 new jails around New York for each borough. And one of them, the Manhattan one, is going to be built in Chinatown. So these are basically skyscraper jails. The one that's going to be built in Chinatown is like estimated to be, it will be the tallest jail in the world if it's built. So WOW Project has been involved with like organizing around that, being vocal about it, and like kind of educating people in the community about what's going on, and also kind of bringing in like some abolitionist thinking into like different ways of resisting the jail. So for this event, there was like, I forgot what it was called. I think it was the borough-based, it was something, yeah, it was an event basically rejecting the borough-based jail project. That's what the whole project is called, of building these different jails. And the WOW Project asked like community members to just like write down what they would want to see built in Chinatown rather than a jail. So people were writing down like a community garden, for instance, like a dance studio, like a free grocery store or something like that. like a vegetable garden, a playground, like a third space for children. Yeah, I mean, Gabby, I don't know if you also like were seeing things there that like stood out to you, or if like you also like have thought about it recently about like what could possibly be like in there for Chinatown, for the community, instead of this new jail.
I like the community garden one because at that time, I think Elizabeth Street or Elizabeth Garden was being shut down, but it's not anymore. And then the library, I think someone said they wanted the library, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think like there's also a lot to say about like abolition as like a practice of imagination too. In that, like, you're basically theorizing, like, what the future could look like without jailing, without policing, without, like, incarceration, and what could actually, you know, benefit a community rather than, like, forcing it to stay in line. I think especially for Chinatown as, like, an already, like, geographically placed, like, area where you do have like this jail that's been there for a long time, called the Tombs. That's the Manhattan Detention Complex. You have like, there's a police department there. There's a precinct. There's that whole like there's all of this like geography that gets like really intertwined with like just like police and just like cop cars, the judicial system. So there's all of this interaction between like Chinatown and like the carceral system actually. And yeah, Gabby, if you also have thoughts on like what the geography is like in Chinatown and like how that might like impact like the work that you do with like youth that are Asian American, and also like how, yeah, I don't wanna like go kind of expose the organization, but just like what it might also be like being in Chinatown, being a community member, and also like dealing with like this project. Sorry, that was a long question.
It's okay. Yeah, I'd say like it's very like integrated into Chinatown. Like if the jail were to be built, it would really disrupt everything. Especially because it's going to be like the tallest jail. If people like don't know what Chinatown looks like, it would basically like cast a shadow over Chinatown.
Yeah.
Even like now that they have like that giant like basically gaping hole.
Yeah.
You have to like walk around completely just to get to one side of the street, which is kind of insane. I remember like it's just like I don't even know how to explain it, but yeah, it's just gonna be towering over like a bunch of like businesses, and I just feel like there's like a presence of police in Chinatown just makes it seem so daunting.
Yeah I think also what's been interesting to like organize around it is that there's so many different groups that are invested in the project of it, like investing in like resisting it, but in very different ways. So it's been interesting to also like introduce like topics of like prison abolition to the Chinatown community, even though like that discussion has actually been present for a while, considering that Chinatown does have like a strong history of activism and resistance. Like there's been like tenant strikes, like tenant union organizations in Chinatown that are really strong, like housing rights, garment workers' rights, a lot of like labor rights. And that's like just like a drop in the sea of it. I feel like it's become a really like, there's been like so much meaningful discussion that I've witnessed around like imagination as well, and with like Chinatown youth, in that like this is directly impacting them and their families, but also like imagining what it's like to be right next to this jail that's like increasing incarceration. And it's also being like toted off as like a community center jail, which Gabby, I don't know if you've like seen any of that kind of like wording from them, but they've like released all of this language about it being like community centered and like more dignified and stuff like that, which is just really weird. And they released like AI images and designs of like what it could look like, which like speaking of like speculation is so like dystopic to see.
I don't like that. I don't like the use of AI in like the way that politicians have been using AI is like just so disturbing.
Yeah, it's really, it's really weird to see that, and like using like AI art of like visualizing like what the jail would look like in interaction with the community, and it being toted off as like, oh, like we'll have a shopping center right here. There will be a garden like right outside, and it's just like, this is a jail. You are like incarcerating people, and you're going to be like kind of just glossing it over as this like community centered thing, which is just really, really disturbing to see. And I know that is kind of specific to Chinatown. And unfortunately, I'm not like, I don't know that much about like what's going on in the other locations, for instance, like Brooklyn. I'm not sure what's happening at like their design workshops, where they're having these workshops with like community members in Chinatown to like kind of hear what they have to say, and like they might implement it, which to be honest, like it just feels like really strange to think about like compromise in that way. But yeah, I can say for a fact that like personally in the organizing that I do, like these jails in general should not be built. They should not be built in other places. This is just a way for them to like continue the normalcy, like normalizing of like putting people in cages. But it's not a solution to like the issues that we have in the city. It's not a solution to like hunger, housing issues, and all of the litany of problems that like New Yorkers face. Yeah. So Gabby, I also wanted to ask you a little bit like about like how you also like sustain yourself like as like a worker, as like a worker for like a nonprofit, but also like as a community builder, as an organizer, how you're able to kind of like deal with these issues in the city. And also like be in community with people and also like take care of yourself.
Sorry, could you like repeat what you
mean? So I just wanted to ask you, like, as a like friend, but also as like a fellow like organizer and like as a fellow worker of like a nonprofit, like what are ways that like you take care of yourself and your community, like especially now in these times?
I think at least the way that, maybe this is low-key cheesy.
No,
which is
bro.
Like every time that I like say this and I'm like in the, because I like work for at the nonprofit and I say this, I feel like, oh God, this is about to be so cheesy. There's been like a few times where I considered quitting low-key because the burnout is so real. Like yesterday I worked a 12-hour shift for that collage workshop. I showed up at 9 a.m. and I left almost at 10 p.m. Not gonna lie, that shit got me fucked.
Yeah.
Wait, am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, you can swear.
But then I look through the notes that they write me, and then the community members write me, or I go through I ask, why did you come? And then they're like, oh, because this is the only space that I felt happy to come in or something. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I should continue doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. But when I'm like in the space, it doesn't feel like, I like community organizing when it doesn't feel hierarchical. if that makes sense. Because I've definitely been in, I definitely organized in times, in spaces where it felt like there was a hierarchy of some sorts. And even if it's a nonprofit and I'm the person organizing, I try to keep it as non, a feeling of it not being hierarchical. And I think being a part of the community as an LGBT, as a queer API person, helps me feel more grounded in it. Because it feels like I'm actually in the community and I'm able to also feel the joy that the people around me are feeling when they're in that space. I'm able to feel that safety and joy. So I feel like, yeah, just the feeling of being appreciated. I know like a lot of spaces that are similar to the space that I have been shut down because of like people not contributing or people just not like giving feedback. Like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't mention those spaces, but there's been like a couple like spaces that shut down because of that.
Yeah, I think especially now, like these organizations are really at risk. And unfortunately, like it's difficult to like sustain a nonprofit right now. And that means that in turn, like you have all of, you know, us as employees, like taking on work that might not necessarily be like compensated or, you know, appreciated. It's like kind of a little bit intangible in the way that it shows up. But yeah, like what you're saying, those moments of appreciation are really special. And I think like experiencing that with like, you know, younger people when they're like, oh my God, I didn't even know like there were places like this. Like, this is the one place I can go to. Like, I remember feeling like that in like many of like the places I would first go to as like a teen. So it's really special and it really makes like, yeah, I know it is cheesy. Like you were saying, it feels cheesy. but like it does kind of reinforce the why you're doing this aspect. At the end of the day, like when you're fucking tired, you're just like, oh my God, like, can I keep doing this? Like if you think about yourself as a younger person or like people in your life that are younger, or just like the like imaginary young person out there that's like doesn't know about any of this, like you're like, I kind of have to keep doing this work. I have to keep expanding the things that I do, and challenging myself to keep doing that. I think just that in knowledge in itself does feel like healing. Yeah. I think also, wait, I feel like you were saying something before.
I said being a part of the community itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really, that makes it feel like you're not working, or just like that you're not like on the clock per se, of like the work that you do. I feel like also that's like a really important part, and I can speak like as someone that only recently has been like building up my social skills, that like I realize like how important it is to actually be in community, with people that are like organizing, or even like in community with people that are not and actually don't know about like any of like the issues that your work is about, because that's where it actually is important. And learning how to like, you know, create entry points for people to come into these spaces.
Like I know a lot of people who hate their job, but I actually don't hate my job. I like my job. Anytime that I'm able to be in community with the people who come to like the events I put on, I have a good time. Like, I'm not like, I'm waiting to clock out. I hate this shit. Like the whole time I was at the workshop yesterday, I had a good time because I got to talk to people and I'm like, yeah, this is so great. I get to talk about queer theory. I get to eat food from Copatium. Like, why wouldn't I like that? So yeah, I think that that's like what, like, it's like you're taking care of your community, but you're also taking care of yourself. And I think that I know like people get like burnt out a lot, But I think something that I always tell people is, like, when you take care of your community, you have to remember you're also a part of the community. Taking care of yourself, taking care of the community includes self-care. Mm-hmm. You are a part of that community too, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So what does, like, self-care look like to, like, you and your community? Because I know you're talking a little bit about, like, just, like, being with each other. But, like, what are some ways that, like, you kind of, like, bring that into, like, your own life?
My own life? Can you talk a little more about
that? Yeah, for sure. I think also, yeah, something that I want to, like, delve into, like, with this, like, radio broadcast is to kind of, like, investigate, like, what, like, quote unquote, like, self-care means, like not just, like, for yourself, but also, like, for, like, your community, for your family, for your friends, because I feel like the word gets thrown out a lot, especially, like, within, like, activist and organizer groups, but it's kind of, like, not straightforward what self-care means, and it also is kind of, like, used to gloss over
some things.
Like, I feel like there are people that are just like self-care is an act of resistance, but, like, that's true, but it also that quote literally comes from, like, someone, like, I think it comes from, does it come from Audre Lorde? I'm not sure.
You're asking me?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't know if you...
Honestly, Sasa, maybe you should ask someone else, because I feel like I'm not very good at self-care. Okay. I'm looking at a tweaker and a crash out. So maybe you should ask someone else who is, like, completely therapized. But
okay, but you do have, like, self-care, though. I know you do.
You, like, know I have self-care, bro. Every time you hang out with me, I'm, like, crashing out.
No, but when we hang out together, we're, like, making
art.
We're making art, we're caring for each other. I mean, like, we're literally, like, both in a band with each other, and I feel like when I'm like hanging out with you outside of, like, the context of, like, being at, like, a community event or something, I think that's when we kind of, like, just, like, ourselves without, like, a lot of other barriers. And so, for instance, like, I feel like when we're playing music, we're, like, nonverbal, we're not talking.
That's true.
But in those moments, I genuinely feel like that is, like, it is healing something.
That's true.
That doesn't actually show up in other parts of my life.
I guess, to be honest, it's kind of difficult for me to talk about, because I feel sometimes when I'm working that... So, I don't know how long this talk is going to be. But when I'm, like, in community, it feels healing to me to some degree, because, like I said, it doesn't feel like work. I don't really think about it as work, even though it is my work. But just being in the space of queer people who have the same identity as me, like queer API and doing art and being able to, like, experience, like, a sense of fulfillment feels like self-care in and of itself. Because I don't necessarily think about it as working towards a goal. Like, I think existing in and of itself is a form of self-care. Just not thinking, like, of what, not working towards a goal, I feel like, is the form of self-care. Because I think that, like, in this society, we're always thinking about, like, what's next? I have to chase the bag. I have to do XYZ. I have to do blah, 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 blah. But during, like, the event itself, when I put it on, I already put in all the preparations, and I'm no longer whatever supervisor, blah, blah, blah. I put everything. Now it's time for me to have funsy time. I can just turn my brain into mush. But in, like, my personal life, because I'm trying to not just have my life revolve around my job, I guess I've been trying to, like, do ceramics.
Yes, we fucking love that.
Is that self-care?
That is self-care. That literally is like somatic self-care, bro. You're literally working with like clay and like mud from the earth to like make art. Have you been making like any ceramics? Like have you made like a vase or something?
Oh, I do hand building. So I made a cup and I made a bunny incense holder, but people say it looks like a bunny on a surfboard.
It looks like a surfboard?
It's like a bunny incense holder that looks like it's riding a surfboard. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, I would love to see that later. Okay, yeah, just flagging the time. So we have like 2 more minutes. I just wanted to like kind of like wrap up our conversation. And like, Gabby, thank you so much for like just jumping into this. Thank you so much for like sharing like about like the work that you do and kind of like how you handle the weight of it. I know that like you are overworked, you're an overworked person. That often happens like when your job is literally to like build community. And also just wanted to like kind of end on like what you were saying about self-care, just like your self-care being in community. Because I think the way that like
okay. So the thing crashed. I was talking to myself for a while. Also, Gabby crashed out or something. Something happened. I think the call got crashed. Thank you guys. Just wanted to thank Gabby as well. I think we like ended on a really beautiful note about what they were saying about self-care being about in being in community. I think that is beautiful to think about as like self-care is not something that you just do by yourself. It's actually something that is like with your whole group of people you love. That's something that I've learned from them actually in the whole time that we've been friends. Thank you guys. This is Moss Radio. This is also Grasping Things at the Roots. We are here sometimes, so tune in when we are here. Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.